Emmy Award winner and Evansville native Anthony Calhoun is the sports director at Wish TV, one of the most versatile sportscasters in Indy. AC has served as a play-by-play announcer for NCAA basketball on ESPN. A graduate of Syracuse University, he was given the highly esteemed Remembrance Scholar Award. Anthony's also known for his helping children in need through the AC Charity Golf Classic, the most successful golf fundraiser in Indiana, which brings together leading people throughout the area. The Indiana Sports Corporation presented Anthony with their prestigious Pathfinder Award, putting him in the company with previous recipients such as Peyton Manning, Condoleezza Rice, Oscar Robertson, Larry Bird, and Tony Dungy. Let's put our hands together and give a warm St. Luke's welcome to Anthony Calhoun.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, St. Luke's. How's everybody doing this morning? How's everybody doing this morning? Great. That's great. It is so good to be with you this beautiful Sunday morning. A big thank you to Pastor Rob for inviting me to be a part of this special day. I've heard wonderful things about this awesome, awesome church. And I know last year you had a wonderful series. And I know my good friend Tamika Catchings was part of your series last year. And she sings praises about this church, and so I'm delighted to be here today, and so thank you for inviting me out. That video you had, boy, y'all went back some time, right? A little bit, because I have changed just a little bit, but let me get this out on the record right now. Let's talk about this right up front. Andrew Luck is going to be okay, everybody. He's going to be okay, all right? Yeah. He is going to be fine. It seemed like this year, this summer, everywhere I went, I was asked about number 12, Andrew Luck. Is he going to play? Is he healthy? Are they telling us the truth? I pretty much can assure you, I'm confident about this. He'll be ready to go week one against Cincinnati. And so we should feel good about our Colts football team this year. You know, spending time with folks like Andrew Luck and all these incredible athletes, not only just how great they are on the football field or on the playing field, but they're great individuals outside that as well. And it was just this past Friday, I celebrated 20 years at Wish TV. Yeah, 20 years, yeah. And I can't believe how fast this time has gone, but God has done some incredible things through my career, through him working through me, and the people I've met during that 20-year span has just been unbelievable. God has blown me away from the doors he's opened up for me, the opportunities to have these certain types of interviews, and the connection I've made, and the people I've connected with along the path. And one of those individuals that comes to my mind that I know many of you are very familiar with is former Colts head coach Tony Dungy. Coach Dungy, a dear friend of mine, a mentor. We talk, seems like, every week. And one thing that we always talk about, and what he always challenges me when we're having our conversations, is about being uncommon, doing what the world doesn't do, but doing what Christ does. And so this morning, I want to challenge you to be uncommon. I know it's very difficult at times when you're on your jobs. Even I know there's some young people here as well dealing with peer pressure, but I challenge you this morning to do what Christ would do, be uncommon. I go back to 2009, and the Colts were having such a great season. They had number 18, Peyton Manning, and we were so spoiled here in Indy because we kept on going to playoffs after playoffs, had that unbelievable run. And in 2009, Jim Caldwell was the head coach. And Coach Caldwell, he and I had a pretty good connection and a good relationship. And so I asked him at the beginning of the year, I said, Coach, I would love to have you on my sports show Sunday night, if you could do it after one game. Now, coaches just don't do that. They just don't do that. But he and I had a really good relationship. And so I said, Coach, I'd love to have you on. So I asked him that. And he says, AC, love to do it. Let's find a game that will work and we'll do it. So I was feeling pretty good. So the start of the season, I asked him about it. He couldn't do it because some things were going on. So he tried me in the middle part of the season. They were winning. Middle part of the season, couldn't do it then. And then we got towards the playoffs. And I'm like, I ain't got that much shots. You know, we got to get this done. The season's going to be over. So I said, Coach, I said, you know, you mentioned to me that you would be willing to do this. Can you do it after maybe one of the playoff games? He goes, here's the deal. He goes, if we go to the AFC championship game, all right, and we win it, I'll be live in studio with you at your station. And so I'm saying to myself, there's no way he's going to do this. Come on. He wants to go celebrate with his family if it happens. But I said, okay, I'm in. That'd be great, Coach. Thank you. And so we all know the end of that story. Colts end up going to the AFC championship game against the Jets. They won that game here in Indy, right? So looks like my deal is I'm set. He's a man of his word. He's going to follow through on that, right? And so I remember going into the locker room after the game, and I remember seeing Coach Caldwell. And Coach Caldwell looked at me, called me over, and goes, hey, listen, I'm set to go. I'm ready. I'm doing your show tonight. And so I about had a heart attack because I'm so excited because there was only two big interviews to get that night. One was having Peyton Manning in your studio that night, and that wasn't going to happen. Second was the coach, you know, and that was very rare as well. And so I remember him telling me that, and he took some pushback as well from the organization because they were telling him, hey, you don't want to just single out one reporter. You know, you want to make it fair for everybody, so you probably wouldn't do it. But he said, you know what? I gave him my word, and I'm going to do it. And so I share that story with you because he was a man of his word. He was uncommon. Most folks in that situation would have said, hey, I'm so sorry, I can't do it. I got the family. It's my first time going to the Super Bowl as a head coach. But he said no. He let his yes be yes, his no be no, and he stood firm, and he committed to that. And, you know, and I remember having the conversations with him, and I told Coach Caldwell, I said, Coach, you have no idea your actions, what that did for me personally, because it reminded me about how to be uncommon, how to stand firm, and if you're going to commit to something, commit, do the right thing. I tell you this, when you are uncommon and when you seek Christ first in your decisions, there are tremendous benefits by doing that. There really are. I just remember just being in college. I went to Syracuse University, and you know, my parents always instilled in me to make sure I have a close relationship with God. And so that carried on, obviously, when I went to school as well. And when I was in college, I always made sure that I spent time going to church. I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ when I was there in college. I haven't really admitted this to anyone too much, but I actually led praise and worship there. So how about that? Don't ask me to sing today because we're not doing that today. But I was involved. I was actually involved there. And so during that time there, by being the Bible studies and by going to church on Sundays, while many of my other friends were out having a good time, and that's saying you never have a good time in college, but I just made that priority in my life. The Lord rewarded me and honored me for doing that. The day after I graduated, I had a job in a very good television market coming right out of school. And there's no doubt in my mind, by me being uncommon, making that decision to follow Christ and not do what the crowd's doing, the Lord rewarded me when I graduated the day after. And I tell that story to young people all the time about, you know, if you make the right sacrifices, God is going to reward you. You know, it talks in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And so these things, if you're a young person, it could be a scholarship. If you're, you know, if you're an older person and you're on your job at work, these things can be a promotion. But just make the right decision and be uncommon and follow Christ first. When I mentioned, when I talked about how the Lord can, there are rewards and there's extraordinary benefits from seeking Him first and being uncommon. One of the biggest stories that I've ever done in my career, and even probably one of the biggest stories to ever happen on television here in Indianapolis, maybe ever, was some years ago. I had a chance to sit down with Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, Tony George, the president and CEO at the time of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and then of course Herb Simon, the president, the owner of the Indiana Pacers. And I had all three of them together. This is an idea that I wanted to do. God gave me that vision, but I knew it would be hard to pull off. Just, it would be very difficult. And once I came to Indy and having this career in broadcasting, I always said to myself that I wanted to make sure that I don't just come on television just to talk about sports and that's it. You know, I'm here to serve, help others. I'm not just here to talk about the Colts or about the Pacers, but I'm here to serve. And so I always got involved giving back to our community. And so for the past 13 years, I have my own charity golf outing where we raise over $1 million for education for inner city kids and also for teachers. And because I felt like that's my responsibility, is to serve others. And the reason I tell you that story, because I stepped out the box and I was uncommon. A lot of reporters, a lot of folks on television feel like their job is just to tell you the news, tell you the sports. But for me, it goes well beyond that. And so I stepped out of the box, I was uncommon, and by me being uncommon and serving others, there was a story I mentioned to you about that I wanted to do. And so during that time of being uncommon, I was connecting with an individual who was helping me out in my golf outing that had a connection with Mr. Simon, because in order for me to get this story to work, I had to have all three men buy in. If you know anything about these three individuals, let's say they're pretty busy, right? And how in the world am I going to get all three of these men at the same place, same time, together? And so I was pretty much set up with Mr. Irsay, had a connection with him. Mr. George, I knew him very well. But Mr. Simon, he didn't live here that much. He wasn't here all the time. And I did not really wasn't connected with them. And so by me being uncommon and doing this charitable work for my golf outing, this individual that I knew, he happened to be talking about the Simon family to me. And I'm talking to him and I'm telling him, hey, well, since you brought up, you knew the family well, here's the story I'm working on. I don't know if I can get it done, but I need him because I can't just do two guys. I got to have all of them together. And so he tells me, he goes, AC, I'm like family. We're family. I can probably get this done for you. And so weeks go by to eventually Mr. Simon said, yes, he'll do it. But that only happened is because I took that call from God to step out on his faith, to be uncommon, to serve others, and look at the benefit that came from that. And you ask anybody about that story was, it was incredible because one, you had all three of them together. These are three faces who shaped the sports scene in Indiana, right? And I was able, by the grace of God, to pull this story off and have those three billionaires, I guess, yeah, we'll call them billionaires, right? All in the same room at one time was incredible, but that all went back to just being uncommon. And so I leave with you today is this: ask yourself, are you being uncommon? Are you not choosing to make decisions of what the world wants you to do, but are you choosing what Christ wants you to do? And I confess here personally, it's challenging. The job that I'm in, it's all about who's first, get it on Twitter, social media. And so I have tough decisions I have to make as well. But I always ask myself, let's think about this. You know, what's going to separate you from the person next to you or that group of people that are making the worldly decisions? And so I ask you to think about that. And as I said before, when you make the right decision following Christ and being uncommon, God will reward you. You'll see it. And I testament right here. I know that it works. And so I encourage you to be uncommon. God will take you places you've never been before. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was sitting some chairs.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Well, I told Anthony that I'd like a chance after he speaks just to ask him a few questions. And the purpose of this is sometimes we hear people speak and we think, man, I'd like to hear more about that. I wish I could ask him this question. Yeah. And so this is a chance for me to get behind the scenes of what he has shared, ask him the deepest, most personal things about his life. He might not share any other play. So we want you to feel relaxed and let me pry away.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So
I make this amount of money a year.
Yeah. Where did your faith come from? Like, if looking back on your life, I heard you mention your parents.
Yeah.
But if you were to say, oh, go back and take this one person or piece of my life away, I'd be a totally different person. What would that be?
Well, you know, I'm thankful to God that I had parents that instilled that in me at a young age. I mean, we always, you know, it was just part of the deal growing up. We always were in church. Now, our services are pretty long. You know, we'll get there around 10 o'clock, and we'll get home to about 3. But, So be thankful.
Keep that in mind.
Be thankful. You're pretty good here. But, you know, we had a lot going on. You know, there's a lot of thanking the Lord, right? But my parents, they kind of instilled that in me. We always knew that, you know, everything we have was from God. You know, nothing was, all the blessings we have, the financial blessings, just the healing, you know, in our lives, that all came from heaven, mm-hmm. all came from God. And so for me, that's how I tick. You know, there's not a day I go to work before I go on television. I'm always praying in my mind, God, help me, you know, to be a light on camera. You know, help me get through this script. You know, when I have serious stories or tough stories that, you know, that's hard to convey, God, guide me. When things end, the final minute, and I got to jump on the air, you know, he's always in my head. I'm always thanking him and just having him to guide me in that. But that's been a part of my life my entire time. High school, really start to grow with the Lord in college because I was, you know, I got older and I just started committing more. And, you know, and even when I graduated, you know, even with my jobs today, you know, as challenging it can be with my schedule, you never forget what God has done for you. And I always try to look back to where he's brought me from, to where he's taken me. And I mentioned that 20 years because it is amazing that I've been here for 20 years and just the things I've been able to go through and just how he's just opened so many doors for me just professionally. It's a blessing. And, you know, you talked about grace, which I, you know, God's grace on my life. You know, there's some stories that I could share where, you know, where I didn't think I was going to get an interview, and God, like the story with those three owners, how he just opened the door to make that happen for me, you know. And so it's been a great ride, yeah.
If your mom and dad were sitting here, what would they say they're most proud of with you?
That's a good one. You know, I would say they would probably say that I don't think I've changed, you know, for the most part. I mean, that goes back to just, you know, just knowing Christ, knowing, having that relationship with God, where I don't, you know, I've interviewed a lot of folks. I've had been to almost every big sporting event, but it doesn't really change who I am, you know.
You're just Anthony to them.
Well, yeah, you know, when I do something that is not in God's will, I feel bad, you know, when I'm like, wow, you know, that, so I haven't changed my relationship. My relationship with Christ has not changed regardless of how my status is, or what job assignment I get, you know, it has not changed. And I always think about this, I always say, God, you know what, you have blessed me in so many ways that I have so much to be thankful for. And if it ended today, it's all good because he's been great.
Yeah. 5 hours of church on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
maybe
that's
more
a
like
long time.
Four and a half. Remember, we do a lot of talking too. So,
did you ever have Sundays where you tried to rebel and go, "Not today"?
I mean,
and your parents, they didn't like ask you on a Sunday morning.
No, you had to go. You had to go.
You were going.
Yeah. So parents, get their kids in church. They gotta go. I wanted to go. You know, I didn't really. It was just what we did. You know, that was kind of like, that was the tradition of our family. We went to church, yeah.
So what would you say to parents today
where
going to church is becoming less and less the cultural norm? Yeah. I would just think if you're a kid in school, most of your friends are not going to church on Sunday. So it's that much harder. And if you're a parent who just says, I have to wrangle with my kids about enough other things in my life, I just don't have it in me to do it on Sunday. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say that look around you to the people who do go to church and just how their lives have been blessed by being in church and how their relationships they have with individuals. As I told you before we came out here, you know, my schedule during football season is extremely hard. I mean, it's, you know, I'm on Sundays, I'm there at 10 o'clock and I don't get off to midnight. And so it's intense. I mean, long. And I'm grateful for what I do, but I do miss not being able to go to church. And so the church I attend, they had Saturday night services, so I was doing that. And then they changed it to Sunday nights now, and so I gave the pastor a hard time about that. I was like, Pastor.
You're not the first.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? Oh, did you guys have Saturday service
here? No, go on.
Okay. Great idea if you decide to do it. But so now I gotta, you know, I gotta make the sacrifice to do it on Sunday mornings now before I go in, and that's fine. But I would just say that, you know, look around the people around you that are doing that and just how blessed their lives are. You may not be able to be here, but get in some small groups. I know there are small groups that you guys have here as well. See if you can do that. Anything you can do to help your relationship with Christ, to help you to live a better life, to be a better human being. Find folks in that area that can help you. And like with me, when I don't get a chance to go to church, you know, I have individuals at my station that know Christ, that are Christians, that, you know, we connect with all the time, you know. And so, yes, you want to be here on Sundays, but I know people's schedules are tough. You mentioned to me that our good friend Brad Stevens, he's watching online. Long as you get the
word in. Look at the camera, you can say hi to Brad right there.
What's going on, Coach Stevens? Thank you for watching. Wish you best of luck this year with the Celtics, yeah. And so that's another avenue that you can have.
So in your life, football season's busy. Yeah. You probably do not get an opportunity to go to church on Sunday. Basketball season takes you away many weekends or Sundays?
It does, but not like football. And so that's the time where I can kind of dive in more into my church and spend some time just, you know, just being there for the most part. So, but let me just say this to interrupt. It's important, yes, to be in church on Sunday. We know that. We know that. But it also goes beyond these walls here as well. I mean, it goes on your job. It goes at school as well. I mean, there's times where I'm at church that I can be getting ready for work with my colleague, Brooke Martin, and we're both sitting there before we're getting ready to go on, you know, listening to Elevation Worship or something. Mm-hmm. Or there's been some blessing that's happened that she's grateful for, that she's telling me before she goes on air, you know, where we still have just a reverence of the Lord at work as well. So, you know, it goes beyond these doors here. You know, it goes your home, your family, your job, et cetera.
So when you think about being uncommon, what are some experiences maybe where it has clearly been uncommon to be out loud with your faith, to be vocal about it, to share about it, because you can just tell around this place where I am, whether it's a new studio or someplace else, that you go, folks aren't digging that. When are times when it's been uncomfortable to be uncommon?
Well, you always, you know, it goes back to like kind of want to fit in with the crowd. And there are a lot of, I mean, in my industry especially, you know, it's difficult to be uncommon because, you know, they always say if it bleeds, it leads. If there's anything edgy, you know, it's going to lead your news. And so for me, that's probably one of the most challenging things for me. But I always go back. I really do. I always, anyone that works with me, they'll tell you, I always go back to, you know, what would God do? Especially when I'm telling these stories, like to a certain extent, you know what I mean? If it's a tough story, prime example, Chuck Pagano, friend of mine, Coach Pagano. You know, it was hard for me to tell his story because I had a good relationship with him, but I liked him as a person. But at the end of the day, I have to tell the story, you know, I have to tell the story. But the way I go about telling the story, that's where I have the power to do that. Meaning, they didn't make the playoffs those last 3 years, et cetera, when he was here. But do I need to go in full detail about how to put my personal opinion in, or he's horrible, he's done this, yada, yada. I don't know if that's necessary to do that, you know? And so those are areas where you're kind of uncommon. Just having the ability to be the editor over certain stories where a person may not look, they can look bad on camera, or we can change it to make them look good. That's where it's been uncommon, where most people are like, no, we got to do it that way. No, let's not. There's no need to put that person in that light like that when you know we still can share the same message doing it this way, which is going to protect that individual rather than making that person deal with, embarrassment.
Yeah. Sounds like you've developed some rhythms in your life when you're under stress, when you're in a pressure situation, to think about how do I bring God's presence into this moment so that I respond in a God-honoring way. You told me on the phone one day about going to a golf tournament. You were in a hurry, and I think you said you were coming from church up in Noblesville, and you were trying to change clothes in the car?
You really want me to tell that story?
Tell it.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's interesting you say that because up there he had Grace on the big screen, right? And I actually thought about that story. So this is about 4 or 5 years ago, and anybody who knows me knows I love to golf. And I was going to church, and we had a tea time up in Noblesville. I shouldn't be telling this story. This is
too late.
Yeah, a tea time at 2:30, and we got out of church late. And so I wanted to make sure that that I was at church. I wanted to do that. And so I decided. I mean, we've all changed in the car before, right? 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 Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So I can't believe I'm telling this story. So here we go. So I'm in the car, and I was like, God, I got to get there. So shoes go off, one light. Dress socks, and I got these dress socks on. Goes off another light. And I'm also moving pretty fast as well, because I got to get there for this tea time. And so shirt goes off another light. Shorts go off on another light. And I'm pushing about 70, and like in a 50, 55, something like that, to try to get there. All of a sudden, I see this sheriff pass me, and the lights come on. And I'm like, oh my God. I was like, God, you gotta help me here. I'm like going crazy now. I can't do anything here because I'm driving. So I literally, I know he's gonna come get me. So he's coming. He turned around and I was like, I gotta get my pants, my shorts on. I gotta get them on. So I pulled to the right and I know this cop, I think he probably thought I had a gun because there's moving around. I'm trying to get stuff on. And so I'm trying to pull my shorts up. Could you imagine, sportscaster, Wish TV, caught with pants down in the front seat of the car, all right? So I'm getting everything on, breathing extremely hard. My buttons open of my shorts. And so he comes by and he's like, he goes, what's going on here? And I go, as an officer, I'm so sorry. I said, I got this tea time here just right down the road. And so I'm kind of like trying to, down the road. And he goes, yeah. He goes, we got you speeding. He goes, but I know who you are. He goes, just listen, slow down, be careful, and have a good day. And so that was nothing but God's grace, even when you were in the road. But man, that would have been one headline, right? That would have been unbelievable. But it goes back to, here I was, kind of been uncommon, right? Yeah, I went to church that day, so I'll bring it back to you, right? And at the end of the day, the Lord, even though when I was in the wrong, His grace provided for me.
So, actually, Anthony, I was thinking about a different story. I didn't mean for you to.
You got it.
I wasn't clear about that one. Okay, we need to wrap up.
Yeah.
End of your days.
Yeah.
However long from now, and pray to God it's many, many years. End of your days. Something will be said about you on television, written about you in the newspaper. Anthony Calhoun, they will go through your credentials as a newscaster, as a scholar, all of the things you've done in your life. What do you want to be known for the most?
Yeah, that's a good question. Last year when I received the Pathfinder Award, that was of anything I received, from the Emmys I've won, that one meant a lot to me because it all went back to one word, and that was serve, you know. And so I think by the end of the, you know, when my life is over, I just hope people can say he was an individual that served others. Because I think we don't, in our society today, everyone is so self-centered. I won't say everyone, but many folks are, or we have that mentality to think about me first. And for me, I just hope that, you know, folks can say, here was an individual that one loved God, but also loved others and served others. And so that's written about me. That's all I need. Don't need to be mentioned about my job or you know.
That'll be
awards.
Enough.
That's enough. Yep.
Well, I want to say on behalf of our community, thank you for the money that you raise, the charity work that you do for children, for teachers, for education. It's a great gift. I think it speaks to the character of this person that he gets asked to do a lot of things, and he lives a full-time life with his work alone. On top of that, goes to host fundraisers, speak at different events. There's a lot that he does. He came here today and said, I don't want anything for it. If this is something God can use because of whatever recognition that you have in your life to be a witness about what it means to try to live my faith in the real world, I don't need pay. I don't need compensation. He comes today to share with us without asking anything, but we will be making a contribution to the charity of your choice and recommendation. But Anthony, we want to thank you for being with us. I want to say a prayer for you, for your life and your career, if I may. Gracious Father, I thank you for your servant, Anthony Calhoun. I thank you for a mom and dad who poured into his life, and they wouldn't put up with any rebellion on Sunday because they wanted to make sure he was going to be exposed to the highest truth that defines his living and the way that truth has paid off, the way you've used him throughout his life and career and will continue to do so. Thank you for his sense of humor. Thank you for his joy of life, his desire to give back, and his hope to be recognized first and foremost for being a servant and giving back in his life. May you continue to bless and strengthen, surround and protect him. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.